So thank you everybody for inviting me. My name is Charles Kingsman, and I oversee, or I'm the spiritual care and support worker at Broken Chains here. Broken Chains here reach out to marginalised and people that are struggling in life in the town of Ayr. We share the love of God in a practical way by food, clothes, and anything that we can do to help the people that are struggling. But we also preach the gospel. We also tell them that Jesus loves them and that Jesus has a plan for them. And we have volunteers, we have people from all different churches come and help and put their hand to the plough and reach out to the broken of society. So I'm also part of the lay preachers as well. That's how I got the invite here, and I really enjoyed my time with you a few months back. And I'm very grateful and happy that you have got a pastor, and I pray blessing upon your church and upon the next season that you are going into. God is good. He is indeed. And today, I want to speak the subject, if you were to title it, it would be called The Suffering Servant and the Power of Prayer. Because Jesus died that we might be free. Jesus died that we might be meeting here this morning to celebrate in his victory and bring freedom and hope to each other that he lives and he's risen from the dead. The price is paid, as my sister said this morning, when we confess, Jesus forgives and he liberates as well. So I'm going to speak about two different people in this subject today. The first person is Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament. So start, man. I'll just pray first. Let's see. It's always good to pray. Hand it over to God. Let's pray. Dear God, I praise you for today. I praise you for this church. We love you. And I pray today your anointing will overshadow my frailties, that you would speak today, that I would listen to the word of the Lord, that my brothers and sisters would hear the word of the Lord and they would live, Lord. Their life would be in it, that you would be with us here. We know that you are with us, but we pray we would feel your presence and we would be challenged but also so encouraged to lay hold of you and go closer to you, we pray. Amen. So my first scripture is speaking about Elijah. In the New Testament, it speaks about Elijah and it says, James 4, verse 16, just like similar to my sister said earlier, confess your sins or your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with natures like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and it produced its fruit. So this man was a man, okay, he was a prophet. You might say, oh, Charles, but he was a prophet. He was a prophet, but he was just like you and I. He was not perfect like Jesus. He struggled with things. He got depressed at times, especially when somebody spoke a word over him, a woman called Jezebel. He struggled with things as well. He was not perfect, but he had a desire for the things of God. He was called of God to be a prophet. But I just want to say in the outset, brothers and sisters, pray for each other. Confess if you're struggling with anything. Don't hold it to yourself and be a lone ranger. Get a brother. Get a sister and pray with each other. Because the word says when we pray with each other, we confess that we get healed. The word comes, the power of the prayer comes, and there's healing in prayer. So at the outset, prayer is a good thing because it brings healing. You see that if you hold on to something, then time heals. It doesn't. If you've got a resentment, you've got a hurt, you've got something and you hold on to it, it actually festers and gets worse. It can actually bog you down and you're carrying it about. But when you confess these things and you say, I'm struggling with that, to forgive that person, or I've made a mistake, and you pray for each other, then the healing comes, the grace of God comes, the goodness of God comes, and we get liberated and we get free. So my other chapter is, I'm going to go into Elijah. Elijah's life. And Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he tried to turn the people back to the true God, away from idols. There was a king called Ahab, and he was the most wicked king in Israel. He was the king of Israel, so he should have been serving Israel's God, which was Jehovah, which is our God. Hallelujah. Our God. We serve the God of Israel, Abraham and Jacob. But what they'd done, they'd turned away to things. And this king was leading them in. He'd married Jezebel, and he'd been more wicked than any other kings. But this man appears, this man Elijah, the man of God. He was obviously a man of prayer. And I encourage these brothers and sisters, as Christians, as born-again believers, in this day and age with the way society's going, and sometimes even breaks were hard to see, sometimes parts of the church is going, we need to be people of prayer, people of the Word of God, people of the book, people of faith. And this man was that, even though he had mistakes. But it gives us hope, doesn't it? When we feel down some days, when we feel downtrodden and we're broken, and we're trying to serve the Lord. He got depressed when he was in his peak, when somebody spoke a word over him. So I'm going to read through 1 Kings 17, it's in. I'm going to give three wee stories about him just to set the scene. The first one is, I just told you what happened. Elijah spoke a word that said in the first instance in the New Testament, that Elijah, set my watch there, that Elijah was a man of like passions, but he prayed that it wouldn't rain. So in verse 17 it starts, Elijah the Tishbite and the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord our God lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew and rain in these years except by my word. What confidence in God. What confidence in God to speak the word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from there and turn east and hide by the brook of Cherith. As I was meditating on this, when a man of God comes, the enemy always tries to kill them. Remember when our beautiful Lord came into the world, when Mary was pregnant and they were about to have the kid, Herod, they say another king like Ahab, was trying to kill the kid. Remember, the Lord warned them to go and hide in Egypt to the kid, to dealt with him, which flows from Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Wow. The ravens to feed you. I just want to remind us that when you're in the will of God, God will use any means to look after you. When your ways are pleasing to the Lord, even your enemies, he can make it peace with you. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's a great thing, eh? Imagine every single one of us in here went and did according to the word of the Lord. We'd be seeing revival. I'm not saying we don't obey God, but there's more in there. There's more that we can be obeying him with. For he went and stayed in the brook which flows into Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and they drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So God's provision was there for that season and his life. But even his own word that there wouldn't be any rain started to affect him. Because we need to practice what we preach as well. When we say something, we should live by it as well. But what happened was, for that season, there was provision through ravens and through this beautiful brook. But at that season, it changed. and it went into another season. The word was still spoken. And maybe you've been in a season, and maybe the Lord's had you in one place. What my word is to you today is stay there until the Lord says otherwise. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's somewhere where you're working or some part of the ministry. I believe that we should stay in the thing that God tells us to do until he says, right, I'm going to give you some more revelation. You're going there as well. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded the widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, please bring me a drink of water that I may drink. So in this part of the story as well, he's obeyed the Lord. And he's walked up, and I don't know if God's ever spoke to any of yous, and you went to do it. There's a, you're kind of nervous. Did I hear from God? Did I not? Have any of you ever felt that? If somebody says, go and bless that person, go and tell that person this. And he walked up, but the woman was there. I believe his faith would have been raised up at that time when he saw her. That I may drink. So he's asked her for a drink. And I remember Jesus at the well. Remember the woman at the well? Give me a drink. And that woman got more than a drink. That woman got living water that welled up into everlasting life. And this woman got such a blessing for having Elijah as well. When you see a person of God, says if we give a man of God or a woman of God or even a child of God a drink of water, then your reward's great in heaven as well. And she was going to get it, and he called to her, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So he's asked for water, and he's asked for bread. As the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, she said. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. I see I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, and then we will die. So at this stage, I believe this woman was a woman of faith, because he wouldn't have sent her to a woman if she wasn't, unless he was wanting to win her for God. This woman was a woman of prayer. But such was the distress and such was the way in the land that our faith had, our provision was running out. And sometimes even our provision can run out. Might not just be practical, but it could be spiritual as well. We need to feed our spirits as well. But this woman was saying, I'm going to feed my son and then I'm going to die. Our hope was dwindling. And sometimes when we look around the land, our hope can dwindle. But the man of God did the word of God. And he said, go and prepare for me and my son, we will die, she said. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. The Lord would say today, do not fear. Go and do as I have said, and make a small cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain as well. I would just say in that Elijah spoke right into the need, but he actually spoke to her and said, give me something. God, give the man of God something as well. And her faith met with his faith at that point. Her faith to go and make that. She could have been selfish, couldn't she? Sometimes when we tithe, we think, I've not really got the money to tithe. I'm not a prosperity preacher, by the way. Far from it. But sometimes we think, I've not really got the money to tithe. But if we're faithful to God, he's faithful to us. He blesses us. Or if we give somebody that's in need, then God blesses us also. But what happened when she done this? One of the miracles of the Old Testament started to begin to happen. It says, and afterwards make some for yourself and your sons. For thus says the Lord God of hosts, the bill will not, it will not run dry, the bin will not run dry until the Lord sends rain. So in this miracle, he was saying that there's going to be provision until the rain comes. There's a drought in the land, a drought in the land, but God's sent me to you. We're going to be together until the rain comes. And that oil is going to keep flowing, and there's going to be cakes made. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. We've seen this in the New Testament with Jesus with the loaves and the fishes. This is a shadow of it, where he's seen miraculous provision for God, for Elijah. It's there. And it says, and she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. There it's there again. Go and do the word of Elijah. Go and do the word of the Lord. And she and her household ate for many days, and the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word which Elijah spoke. This next part of this story, I was telling you that for the storyline. Now I'm coming to prayer, because Elijah was obviously a man of prayer. I want to say this as well. Prayer is not just speaking to God. It is also listening to God. Prayer is a dialogue. If you speak to somebody on the phone and say blah, 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 and they don't get to, you don't know what's happening. They know what you want, because you don't know what they want. And we have to listen to God as well. And that's what Elijah done. He listened to God as well as spoke to God as well. This next story, it says, now it happened after those things that the son of the woman who owned the house, so she had a son. She obviously loved her son. He would have been in the house with Elijah, was sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, man of God? Have you come to bring my sins upon me and my son? She's thinking, you've came here and then my son's died. Is it because I have sinned or something like that? And sometimes we can think that when things happen to us as well. And she said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you brought this tragedy upon the woman whom I have lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out in the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him and revived. I want to speak about a few things in that. How many of us have got things in our life that we want God to help us with, but we hang on to them? Children, things that are in our life and we don't give it. He said, give me your son. Give me your son. She'd been looking at this boy, and this boy had got worse in his illness, and he'd ended up dying. Think how she felt, and the man of God's there. Are you going to trust God with your children? Are you going to trust God with the thing that's in your life? That woman had to trust the man of God, who was God's agent at the time as well. I'm reminded of a story at this time. A family phoned me. A lovely, godly family with a boy who was stuck in addiction. They got my number from England and they said, I heard you run broken chains and you're God's man in the area to help drug addicts. I said, I'll help anybody. Could you help my son? I said, I'll try my best. Pray for him. They told me his name. And I said, they said, I think he's been to broken chains once. And there was times that they were almost in tears with distress because they basically lost their son to this lifestyle, but they loved their son so much, just like the father of the prodigal son. The pastor, the elder had phoned me, and the two parents And might I say today, with gratitude, that the Son is here today. And God is restoring that Son. He's not fully out the woods yet, but he's on the path to freedom through Jesus Christ. Because God is still in the business of restoring sons and daughters. God is still in the business of doing miracles, especially of salvation, to bring a soul to freedom from a lifestyle. Matt, would you come up and share the poem? I'm not going to ask Matt to testify because he's just early days, but I would like him to say a poem. Bit of rip. I just heard this morning. This is about his life.
My God, thank you for setting me free. Thank you for making me see that it wasn't cell doors that captivate me. It's addiction, lies, and sin that got me in the mess I'm in. But through you I can be free, free forever, from the dirt and the grime and the hate and the crime that once ruled me. All the lines and bags and spliffs and the bombs. I'll sing my songs to God, because it's him I see. So as I walk, please keep me humble. Don't let me mumble, so others can hear and see that there's a way out for me. If it's with the troops in the groups, or on the street when I meet folk just like me, I know I'm not done yet. I bet there's more in store, both good and bad for me. May I cherish the good and use the bad to remember me when I was on the floor of a cell. When that door banged, boom, hell for me. You were with me then and you still are now, I see. So help me do your work, not go berserk. Or end up hanging from a tree. I ask daily for strength, wisdom, and courage, just like in the prayer of serenity.
God bless you, brother. God is awesome, isn't he? God is awesome. And in this story, and that'll be an ongoing process, and God is working, and God is, you know, has reached right into that place of darkness through the mother and father that prayed and cried to God. Yeah, God might use people like Broken Chains and use as well to reach out there. You might be the answer to somebody's prayers. There might be a cry in the heart of somebody, and you might just hear the voice of God and go and be able to bring that person to a degree of freedom that God would bring. So we give God the glory and the praise for these things. And he laid them on his bed, and they cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow to whom I lodged and killed his son? That's quite a prayer, isn't it? He's been straight as a die with God. And he stretched himself out on the child three times. If you're praying, if a man praying, don't give up in prayer. My wee sister, I'll share a quick testimony. My wee sister, she's in Her Majesty's care, let's say, 13 years. I was crying out to God, God, why? What? You know, and I'm not going to the politics of it, but he said, Charles, my ways are higher than your ways. And my ways are not your ways. And the heavens are higher and the earth's on my way higher than yours. And as the snow comes down the mountain and it feeds the plants and it gives seed for the sower, so are my word that will not return to me void. So I said, I'll visit her every month. That's all I can afford to get down. And I'll pray for her all the time. No, I've kept praying for her. And the last 2 months she's got saved. She's asked Jesus into her life. I visited her and she says, when I get out, she's even had to make amends to people. She's about to say sorry to her friends. Or she wasn't a bad man. She just went astray, like it was all. And I praise God, because she's saying, when I get out, what's the good churches about there in that church? She's going to the wee Christian fellowship. Praise God for people who get into prisons as well. Yeah? God's good, isn't he? And I'm not saying, look at what God's doing with us. Thank God he's doing it, but he wants to do it with you as well, brothers and sisters. I encourage you to be praying and to be reaching out like you do with the passion of Christ. And the Lord God have you brought tragedy, sorry. And he stretched out his hand 3 times. I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. I always thought it was your spirit that left, but reading this, his soul must have been in a different place. And I believe that Elijah had a love for him as well, because he'd have stayed with him. He'd had a love for the boy as well. It can help you pray. Think of what Jesus prayed. We're going to look at that in a little while, what he prayed in the garden. He prayed for you and for I. He didn't just pray for his head, he prayed for his heart. The heartfelt, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Prayed with feeling, I believe. He said, God, bring this boy's soul back to him. God, and cried out. And the next thing, the boy woke up. Just like that boy woke up. And what will the mother and father say? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God you are. But see, in the time being, when they're away and you've no control, that's a hard thing, when you have to hand things to God. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. It says about Paul, his voice was heard in heaven. I encourage his brothers and sisters to pray that our voices are heard in heaven. It says that the prayers of the saints are poured out as a sweet smelling aroma before the nostrils of God. And the soul of the child came back and he revived. Do you love that? He revived. Who in here would like revived for ourselves? Amen. I could be doing with getting revived. I could be seeing with getting ones round about me revived. It says he revived. And Elijah took the child. This is a great honour. I've seen this in my own life through the grace of God. And brought him down to the upper room, to the house, and gave him to his mother. Jesus done it in the New Testament. Woman, there's your child back. Brand new. Born again. Redeemed. Set free. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know this, and I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth. Is truth. So I just want to look at the Lord in the garden now. I'm going to go to Mark. I'm going to read 2 wee portions of the Lord in the garden, because they speak about different things. Remember, we're speaking about the suffering servant and the power of prayer. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he and his disciples sat there. Sorry, he said to his disciples, sit there while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that it was, if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'll read on. Then he came and found Peter sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer. And he came in a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting, is it enough that hour has come? Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and go and see, my betrayer is at hand. In this we see the Lord in his humanity, but also his divinity. He was going to pay the ultimate price. He was going to pay the price for you and for me. And he went, where did he go when he went to do this? He went to prayer. Because this was the greatest trial that any person has ever had to go through. It wasn't just the trial of being beaten. It wasn't just the trial of being scourged. It wasn't just the trial of being called names. It was a trial because he was sinless and he was going to become sin. He was going to take on every single thing that you and I had done. And I know what I'd done nearly drove me crazy. But he that knew no sin became sin for us. And three times, just like Elijah, three times he went back to them. Elijah spread himself out, he spread himself, but Jesus went back to them and said, could you not pray with me for an hour? And I believe he says to us today, I encourage, I praise God for this church, and I'm not pointing the finger, I'm talking to us all. Can we pray for an hour? Where is Jesus now? He's exalted to the right hand of God. What's he doing? Praying. Still interceding. He was mad more than any man. He was despised and rejected for us. But in his time of need, they failed. But he still loved them. And many of us put our hands up and say, we're failing on this walk, Lord. But he still loves us. But he's encouraging us today to pray. If you can't do an hour, do 15 minutes. If you can't do 15 minutes, do 5 minutes and work your way up. Because God wants our prayers. Because there's special needs. There's needs in the towns. There's needs in our own lives. And he wants us to pray. In prayer as well, what he realised was, he knew where he was going, but he must have been in agony with it and toiling with it. But then in the prayer, he knew what was God's will. His father said, because he got up and he said, Martin, the guys that are coming to get me are coming. Because he knew he got up and said, I'm still going to the cross. He knew. Sometimes in prayer, God says, that's my will for you. And that's what he done. He went to the cross as well. So the last, this is the last two scriptures as well. The Lord again in the garden. And it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. And that's his custom. As his disciples followed him. So it's a good custom to go and pray. Jesus was in the habit of praying. Nearly every night he was away praying. I encourage us to be in the habit of praying. And the prayer meeting in this church, you might be busy, but try and get to it. Try and meet up with others and pray. Get in the habit of praying. It was his custom. And his disciples followed him. We should follow Jesus and get in the habit of praying. And he came to the place and he said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. He says that a lot. I know people that stood up here and then fell into stuff. Apostle Paul says, I beat my body into submission. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm just saying every one of us need to pray that we don't fall into temptation. We need to continually guard our hearts with all diligence. And he withdrew from them and about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Same again. But in this, then the angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. Supernatural, an angel came and strengthened him. Who's glad he gets strengthened? Are you glad that he gets strengthened? If he never gets strengthened, he could have walked away and not done it. But he done it because he gets strengthened. And says, I was reading this, know what I thought? One angel defeated a million people in the Old Testament. See, if Jesus wanted, he could have said to the angel, I'm not gone. I know it would have been gone against God's will, but he could have destroyed. See, the ones that came to accuse him, he could have destroyed them like that. But he didn't, because he was full of mercy, full of grace, full of compassion for souls and for sinners like us, for people that have messed up, so that he might win more souls, so that he might and say, right, it's your will, God, I'm gone. He was God in flesh, and he said, I'm going to the cross. And it says, then, being in an agony, he prayed the more earnest. So the angel ministered to him, and he prayed the more earnest. He still needed to pray, and he was God, the Son, and he still needed to pray the more earnest, for the trial became like great sweats of blood falling to the ground. People that are medically minded say this can be possible if you're in the most total distress a human being can ever be in. And that's what he was in. It wasn't just I'm God and now I'm just going to die from him. He was in an agony. He was sweating drops of blood because he despised the shame and endured the cross for you and I. Does that not make your heart happy today? That we have a Saviour that we can trust. That we have a Saviour that's paid the penalty. And he rose up from prayer and came to the disciples, and he felt them sleeping and sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you fall into temptation. And everyone is, I put my hand up, I know sometimes God says I want this amount of time, and I fail. And if I've had a hard day in the ministry, I watch the telly, I try not to do it a lot, but we all fail in that area, don't we? But God's saying, why do you sleep? Rise up and pray. Rise up and pray. And that's our word. Rise up and pray, church. Rise up and pray. You've got a new pastor coming. God is on the move. Rise up and pray, church. Rise up and pray. He said, my house will be a house of prayer. And when they need other things, let this house be a house of prayer. So this last wee bit, I'll close with this. I want to just look at his suffering for a minute. Quickly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, prophesy, who's the one who struck you? And many other things they blasphemed against him. Then, soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chiefs and priests, scribes, came together, and they led him to their council, and saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. And he said to them, I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me. Thereafter the Son of Man will sit in the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. I just want to remember what he done for us as we close, that he was beaten. That he could have said to that angel, kill them all. But the mercy of God and the call of God that was on his life. And we want to look at somebody faithful and try and be faithful. Look to the cross. Look to the faithful servant Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Battered, mocked. Go and prophesy against yourself. The beating and the pain that he went through at that time. But then they said, we're going to kill you because you're saying you're the Son of God, are you? And he said, I am. Which means God. I am means God. I am means God. See, the other time later on in the garden when they said that, they fell down for the glory of God, but they still grabbed them. I just want to leave him in your hearts today, a vision of Jesus and a passion for prayer, brothers and sisters. I love yous. I can feel a wee bond with yous. I can feel a love for yous. And I pray us, not just this church, this nation of Scotland will rise up again to be the land of the book, the land of prayer, the land that loves Jesus. For he is worthy. When we see the cross and we see the price, he is worthy of our praise, isn't he? He's worthy of our dedication. Thanks, brothers and sisters. I'm just going to close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for Matthew's life, for Gavin's life, and many in here that you've touched, oh God. But I pray that we would be people of prayer, people that would look to the great example of prayer like Elijah and Jesus and raise up into the calling that you have for each one of us. Bless this church. Bless this body. If anybody wants prayer today, we're willing to pray for you to touch them, Lord, in their prayer life or any part of their life. We give you all the glory for your goodness. Amen.